You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Michael Yon, Michael underline Yon, to see Michael's reporting at Twitter, now called X. He is in Panama City, has been for several weeks. Since Michael's trip this time, we've had the new Secretary of State, Mr. Rubio, the new Secretary of Defense, Mr. Hegseth, other officials, and some, you'd have to say, buzz haircuts wearing Hawaii shirts, which are usually indicative of military personnel or former military personnel now working for the State Department or other agencies with three letters. Okay, that's Panama City now since Michael's been there. So we call upon him to reflect about the people of Panama, much in the news, since Mr. Trump and others in the Trump cabinet voiced grave concern about the security of Panama, brought forward all the statistics about how much the U.S. depends upon the Panama Canal, how we're the major customer, and how it's importantly part of the defense of the Indo-Pacific. In the event there is violence, you must get supplies and resupplies through the Panama Canal to the Pacific and vice versa. And if it's in the hands of the Chinese, there are doubts. So, Michael, rather than go right to the trouble, the BlackRock deal to make offer that has been rejected by the Chinese Communist Party in some fashion, or the rotation of U.S. troops now announced, the Jungle School, other military personnel to provide security, or the intention of Mr. Trump and his administration still to bring Panama's government back under the wing of the United States. How about the people of Panama? What is the mood in the street? Are the shops full of toys? Are the restaurants full? How are they doing given all this attention they receive, some of which makes some of them very unhappy? Good evening, Michael.
Well, as an American, I still feel very, very welcome. You know, I don't feel any animosity towards me at all. It's pretty obvious I'm American as well. And you know, I've spent more than a year here since Biden was installed. You know, I'll come and go back over to Japan or wherever, and Texas, where I'm going tomorrow. But I feel all over Panama, everywhere I go, I feel like, you know, they've known me, you know, for years. And they're like, oh, hello, you know. So despite all the things that have happened, and I'm staying in the hotel, by the way, where Hegseth stayed right now. And so it's pretty easy to figure out where I'm at. I'm looking at ships preparing to go through the Panama Canal right now, actually. And so there's no, except for, the, you know, the Soon Tracks, those are communists. They don't like Americans. But most Panamanians don't seem to like Soon Tracks. And so I think that there's with the United States, our relations with, let's say, Americans, our relationship with Panamanians is quite good. Now, whichever government's here or there at the time could be a different story, but on the personal level. Now, getting with China, the way I see it, is still they're still on the march. They're growing like kudzu, and not just here, but of course over in Antigua and Bahamas and Canada. You know, I went to Canada last year with Masako Ganaha looking at it. We went down to Argentina looking at it. We've been all over the place, like 30 countries in the last 4 years looking at it. And so we see China as clearly on the march. And, you know, slapping at the giant squid's tentacle tips is not going to help us get our manufacturing back. I mean, we have to really go for the body, and we have to pull it. You know, one of the ways, as you know, John, you're a student of history big time. You know, one of the ways that Portugal and Spain ended up going from being filled with silver and gold was they then used their silver and gold to buy ships and other goods from other countries, like the Netherlands and the English and whatnot. So all this silver and gold that the Spaniards and the Portuguese took from natives over here, they then didn't have any manufacturing when it came to war, right? You had English and Dutch buying farmland over in Portugal, right? This sounds quite familiar. This is what we've done, as we all know, right? We took our amazing wealth and then outsourced our manufacturing, which was a fatal flaw if we don't reverse this. I mean, literally fatal.
All right, let's get to the Chinese activity. You've been very specific about it. First, there's the China Bridge, which is under construction to replace the American Bridge or to augment the American Bridge. Are there going to be two bridges at once as the American Bridge comes to, come down?
Augment. This will be the fourth bridge over the canal. The first bridge that was built was built in 1962 by the United States. That's called the Thatcher Ferry Bridge. And then later, in an information war, the Thatcher Ferry Bridge was renamed to the Bridge of the Americas. But that was actually part of the information war to end up wrestling the canal away from the United States. And a lot of people, by the way, will say we gave the canal back to Panama, which is, you know, that means the information war worked because there was no giving the canal back. That's like rebuilding Afghanistan. You know, when I was in Afghanistan, people kept saying it's time to rebuild Afghanistan. It's like Afghanistan was never built and the canal never belonged to Panama, period, full stop. In fact, the United States made Panama out of Colombia. And this is important. In 1903, November 3rd, 1903, Panama was finally formed and the United States did it so we could make the canal, right? Now, you see now something I've warned about for several years, including with you several times on your show, is that eventually I think Colombia is going to reclaim Panama. Just keep that in mind, what I just said. I think eventually Colombia is going to reclaim Panama, or at least make a claim on it. Now, keep in mind, a road is being built between Panama and Colombia. It's slowly being built. They're working on two bridges now in the Darien province near Yavitsa. I've been down there and seen them many times, and they're making progress. And eventually, I think as a part of a larger information war, China will use that deep-seated, Panama is ours, with Colombia to then end up waging some sort of conflict with Panama, or this is one permutation of how it could unfold anyway, so that China basically at the end of the day will end up holding, the Atrata River down there and everything else and everything in between, the railway that they'll eventually build between Colombia and Panama and the roadway that they're working on now, and end up owning this canal just through sheer force of migration, colonization by the Chinese, elite capture. There's a Confucius Institute at the university down the road from me here, and just slowly taking charge of the government.
There's a Chinese diaspora dating from at least the 19th century. I believe they were brought in as labor by the French. Is there a Chinatown in Panama City?
There is. But they came before the French. That was a second. The first wave was the railroad, and that was American. And then, of course, the French then came to work on the canal. And then more came, and then the French failed at the canal and actually went bankrupt. And then the United States came, and so more Chinese worked on the canal. Actually, the Chinese numbers weren't great on the canal compared to others. But there's been different layers of Chinese that have come in, different sedimentary layers, you might say. You know, I've started to call this since I see the same human sort of tendency around the world. The colonization happens, it can happen like sediment at times. In other words, people just sort of, the people just end up there and colonies grow by their own motive, right? sometimes governments are behind it, and sometimes it's just people moving there of their own volition, right? And so a lot of the Chinese who came here were of their own volition. That would describe almost all of them until just the recent generation or two. Now there's clear Chinese government sponsorship. It's in the open at this point. But in the past, it was just Chinese coming looking for jobs and that sort of thing. But keep in mind, these different sedimentary layers of people that have come in, just like sedimentary layers of Americans who've come to America, the Chinese who are coming in now, who speak Mandarin, mostly Mandarin, they look down, according to, you know, I was talking with an author just this week, Berta Chong. Her grandfather, I think, came in the 1880s, so she doesn't even speak Mandarin. She doesn't speak Cantonese or Fujianese or any of it. She doesn't speak Chinese, although her apartment's decorated like Chinese very nicely. And but you know, I spent hours talking with her. She's a fascinating lady, super. I'd like to talk with her again, actually. But she talked about how the latest group of Chinese will tend to look down over the Chinese like her, who've been here for many generations, because like she's never, well, she's been to China on vacation and that sort of thing in her adulthood, but she's not really, and even though her living, you know, quite nice apartment is decorated in Chinese style, she's really not Chinese per se. In fact, she mentioned that some of the new Chinese call people like her bananas. And, you know, banana is a term I've heard before in Hong Kong and Thailand, where some of the, especially women, I've noticed in these different cultures, use that term more than men. Women will use that term to describe other women, let's say Hong Kong women describing Chinese women who grew up in, let's say, Los Angeles, and who speak English fluently and are actually American. And so they will call them bananas because they say yellow on the outside and white on the inside. So anyway, Berta Chong, the author here, told me that some of the new Chinese are saying some of the old Chinese here are actually bananas. Interesting, huh?
Michael, what about the rotation of military personnel in and out of Panama? At the facilities that are still there at either end, is that the solution to the threat to the security of Panama?
That's just window dressing. I mean, you know, we've had a military presence here since.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that there was ever a day in Panamanian history that there weren't Americans here since before America was formed. I mean, since before Panama, or before the United States was formed for that matter, because, George Washington's brother, Colonel Lawrence Washington, fought here in Panama in, I think, the 1840s, right, in the War of Jenkins' Ear. And, of course, America wasn't even formed, 1740s.
1740.
The United States wasn't even formed yet.
Right, they tried to buy Guantanamo, too. I understand they had a lot of ambition in the Caribbean. But your opinion, what's been done is to make it very clear to Molino, the president of the country, that we're watching. And the question is that security to watch, to rotate people through? Is that secure, Panama, in your opinion?
Not at all, because we have to do it at a much more fundamental level, because China is moving in. We can't look at this as just Panama. Panama does not exist in a vacuum. China is clearly colonizing Canada and the United States and Bahamas and Antigua and many other places, clearly colonizing. Like, it's nakedly obvious. And so until we check that, they're just slowly, slowly coming in like kudzu on that level. And then they're also investing a lot of money. For instance, the debt trap that they've set to build China Bridge, you know, the number 4 bridge over the Panama Canal. Of course, that's a debt trap. And then so they're getting Panamanians to help China pay for their own Belt and Road Initiative, right?
Rubio and Hex have both been there. Has that changed the future?
Not in any ways that I can see. Not at all. Maybe I'm missing something. There's not been a lot of time to affect any change. You got to look at these things as a very long process. It took a long time to get into this situation. It's not like we can suddenly reverse this. This has to happen at a very fundamental level. For instance, American companies just and investors largely just abandoned Panama after we turned the canal back over. And I don't blame them. I mean, because, you know, you had, when Noriega was in charge, it was very anti-American here. Americans didn't want to, as an official policy, it was very anti-American. Americans didn't want to take a chance and invest their money here when they can invest it somewhere else, such as, you know, say Eastern Europe, right? With the fall of the wall and all that. So, I mean, there's reasons why Americans move their capital elsewhere. But at the end of the day, then we, of course, companies aren't generally going to invest their money because they're patriotic. They're not, because companies are per se psychopaths. They're going to do what the, I mean, they're just going to do what the shareholders need. That's what Michael, the way they roll.
You're leaving. Sir? We're going to Texas. What do you recommend happen at Panama to secure the country?
It needs to be a full body response. And when I say full body, I don't mean military invasion. I'm talking about American companies need to come here, but they have to be encouraged to come here. We need more Americans here than Chinese bringing their money and just basically coming. I mean, they're running Chinese schools here, and that's doing the same thing in Spain, by the way, running Chinese schools in Spain and literally doing military training in Spain. Yeah, you understand what I just said? They're literally doing military training in Spain, like the children, and they're doing that here in Panama. So this is things I just told you something that I think is not in the news whatsoever. You're the first person I've actually said it to, and it just it's just things that I learn in my line of work, and they are coming in hardcore, and we're not doing anything to check this or to dissuade this.
You then regard the Panama as vulnerable now as when the Biden administration was in office?
Big time. Yes, because we have to actually, what we've been doing is slapping the tips of the tentacles on a giant squid and saying that's defense. And we have to go for the squid. We have to go for the head of the squid. The head of the squid, our manufacturing is in the jaws of the squid. I mean, we have spent generations sending over all of our companies to places like China. And now that leaves China
What do we need to
much
do about
better
Panama?
Ships.
I'm not talking about the economy. I'm talking about Panama. Do we need CENTCOM to move to Panama? Do we need a division of Marines to be based in Panama? Do we need to tell the Panamanian government that it's over? You're now working for us. What do we need to do?
Well, this is the thing. That's what I'm saying. We need to, I mean, economically, even if we have a huge amount of Marines here, but we have Chinese running the ports. I mean, they're there. They're in the middle of the port. They're in the middle of the canal.
You recommend we abrogate the treaty and put the Panama Canal back into a zone that we maintain.
I think for the safety of the United States, that's the best thing.
Okay.
But I tell you, that will be very unpopular.
Annexation usually is, but in this case, there's a treaty that says the U.S. will provide security. And your reporting for more than a year has indicated that the security does not exist. And the Biden administration ignored it. And the Trump administration.
There's essentially no security at the canal. There's essentially no security.
And so the treaty indicates that we provide security. If the security does not exist, then it's up to the United States to make a change. We don't know what that is, but obviously right now, not enough of a change. You're headed to Texas. When we come back, why is he going to Texas? Isn't that solved? Hasn't the number of people without documents dropped to zero? We'll see. Michael Yan, he's in Panama City momentarily, departing for the great state of Texas. Friends of History Debating Society, I'm John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.